Welcome back to the John Curley, Sherry Elicker radio program featuring Jack Stein, because John Curley, I spoke to him today, by the way, Sherry. Did I tell you that I spoke to the great John Curley today on the telephone?
No, you didn't tell me that. How's he doing?
He is doing well. When I called him, he said he's in Sonoma or Sonora. I couldn't really make it out because the connection was so bad. And he said the weirdest thing. He says, I'm driving around in the middle of nowhere looking for caffeine. I can't find any, so I'm going back to the venue. And he just sounded so defeated. But I was thinking, how do you not find caffeine? It's not like the venue is like in the middle of the woods, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to find caffeine at a gas station or whatever. He just seemed kind of dejected and lost.
Yeah, and wouldn't the venue, which probably serves some kind of food or drink,
right,
might have caffeine right there?
Right.
Huh.
And you think
caffeine was really code for something else?
Ooh, maybe.
I'm not sure. Like I'm looking for a pork sausage, or I'm looking for a hamburger, or I'm looking for some other thing I can't get at the venue.
Yeah, exactly. Looking for some of that rhubarb pie, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Jack Stein. And then he said, he threw some auction jargon at me, which he spoke to me as if I knew what he was talking about, and I didn't, but I did the thing because I want to seem cool to John. Jacob, uh-huh. Do you ever have this problem?
So you're asking if I also want John to think I'm cool?
Yeah, you ever have this issue?
I think I gave up on it quite some time ago, yeah.
Me too.
So,
No chance I'll ever fall into that category.
So John goes, yeah, I got 92 lots in 3 hours. I'm going to be up there all night long. And I was like, yeah, sounds tough. I have no idea what that means.
I think it means that he has that many items to auction off.
Oh, okay. All right. So was my answer appropriate? Do you think John's going to think I'm still cool, or do you think he's going to be able to know that I'm a faker as an auctioneer?
Well, he listens back to the show, so he officially knows you're a faker after that last statement. So you may be in trouble. You may be a little uncool right now.
Yeah, probably. But I'll tell you what else is not cool. Gig workers trying to wait a minute. Actually, being a gig worker is pretty cool. You ever be an independent contractor, Sherry? You ever work as an IC, as I like to call them?
All the time, yeah. I do a lot of voiceover work, so yes,
right.
I do get a lot of independent work.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, though, the gig workers that we're talking about in this article in My Northwest, this is mostly about drivers, right? So you've got your DoorDash and your Uber Eats and Instacart, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to have a minimum pay rate for these app-based delivery drivers. And some people are for it, and some people think it's a terrible idea. So right now, there's about 40,000 gig workers in Seattle. And so they're saying if they can get these gig workers to get a certain amount of money, that'll be good, because right now, they only work, they might make like $28 an hour, but
right,
they only work like 10 hours a week. So that's not a living wage.
So I have so many conflicting feelings about this. Here's what some gig workers had to say about the pay-up legislation that's being considered by the Seattle City Council.
Rover takes 20% of each and every job I do. And with a workforce of over 300,000, Rover makes over $1.5 million per singular job at any given time. When you have to choose between shelter, food, or transportation, this isn't a way to live.
Gig industry executives have made millions of dollars in personal profits off my labor and have no intentions of investing in me or any of their workers.
We believe that the principle that every worker should be paid enough to pay their bills, nourish their families, and especially when they're hospitality workers. It's good economics. We're all better off when the people who make, serve, and deliver food can afford food themselves.
I am trusting lawmakers to pass the pay-up policy for gig workers because we are not disposable and should not be exploited.
This is some crazy entitlement from some gig workers. So, I agree that people should be able to quote unquote make a living wage, but that it's like you're a gig worker. That's what you signed up to do. The reason that Uber takes 20% off of the money that you make is because you are using their service. It's like you are renting from them the ability to use their algorithm and their technology so that you can go pick up other people. You know what I mean? It makes sense, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, if I of course, you know, I want everyone to make a living wage or be able to feed their families. I'm not against that at all. But in a market like we're looking at, right, where there are so many jobs available, there is so much opportunity out there. If you don't like what you're doing or you don't think you're being paid enough, hey, now is the time to move on. You can do lots and lots of other things. And I have a little bit of a hard time feeling bad for somebody that works less than 10 hours a week.
I know, that's a
pretty, you know, low bar there. I mean, it's not like they're asking you to work, 60 hours a week at $3 an hour. And the fact that they've made money, you're right. That's their business that they designed and that you've been able to take advantage of as a worker as well.
Can we listen to that first lady again? She just sounded
they're reading. I think they're testifying.
She sounds like she's putting herself to sleep with her own voice. Can we hear that again?
Silver takes 20% of each and every job I do.
Uh huh.
Where they work force of over 300,000,
uh-huh.
Rover makes over 1.5 million per singular job at any given time.
All right.
When you have to choose between shelter, food, or transportation, this isn't a way to live.
It's like it was a robot. And here's the thing. I was an independent contractor. I've been an independent contractor many times in my career. When I filled in for Cairo Radio for about a year and a half, I was an independent contractor because I would literally get a phone call from Brian or from Jason Rantz saying, can you fill in tomorrow? Literally, it's like 7 o'clock at night. Todd Herman is out, or can you fill in for Aaron Mason or whatever it was? It was such short notice that there was no way for me to be on any kind of consistent schedule. So I would say, yes, absolutely. And then I did that. And then I eventually got a full time gig. I also don't understand this because there are very clear cut laws when it comes to what a gig worker is and what an independent contractor is. And I know this because I sued a guy for misclassifying me as an independent contractor when I should have been an employee. He had to show up at a very particular time. We used all of his equipment. We had staff meetings where he yelled at us all and belittled us all and told us that we were all horrible people. And when it came for me to file my taxes, I took them to a tax lady, and she said, describe your job to me. And I told her what I did as a radio broadcaster, and she said, you cannot file this 1099. You should go back and ask that man for a W-2 because I think that he's committing fraud. I think that he's trying to commit independent contractor fraud. And so I said, okay. And so I went back to my boss and I said, hey, I spoke to a lawyer and she said that I should do this. And Sherry, my life from that moment forward was nothing but horror and misery for like the next year. But I'll get into that story in a minute. Here's a spokesperson for a grocery delivery company who also made an argument before the council.
It's worth noting that 75% of our shoppers choose to work less than 10 hours a week for Shipt. And last year, Shipt shoppers made on average between $25 and $35 per hour when factoring in offer pay, bonuses, and tips. Delivery app-based work involves many nuanced factors in order to ensure the system works for both our customers and our shoppers. There have been no attempts to study the economic impacts of this measure, which risks economic uncertainty and risks the flexible work opportunities shoppers in Seattle value.
Right. So some of these people want to be gig workers. They just want to fire up the app when they want to work and then use their car as an independent contractor to go around and pick up other people or pick up food or whatever it is. I despise this idea that now somehow because they feel like they're not earning enough, they now have to force that company to reclassify them as employees when they don't meet that standard. Again, and this is coming from a guy who sued a guy for misclassifying me. So I know what the distinction is between these two things. It just sounds like entitlement to me, Sherry. You know, it's just like so entitled.
It is entitlement, and it's not fair to the private employer. These jobs are optional. If you want to do something different or you think you can make more money,
right,
it's a free market. Go out there. I have no sympathy for this. I mean, I have sympathy for somebody who can't make enough money to live. I honestly do. But I've been in that situation, and guess what? I worked two jobs or three jobs to make sure that I could do what I wanted to do. And when I did freelance work and was doing voiceover work, that wasn't always enough to you know, get what I needed. So I do other things to supplement my income. And so that's just the way it goes. I never once looked to an employer and said, you know, it'd be a really good thing if you increased my money because I'm making you so much money. So I want you to pay me more money. So because I don't want to have to work more hours.
Right.
I can't wrap my head around that. Out and get more work. More and you'll make more money.
So when I sued this guy, he was the owner of a radio station, and when I sued him, basically the whole thing was premised around I didn't want to commit tax fraud. And when I went to speak to him about it, I said, listen, I spoke to this person. I want to file my taxes the way that the state of California tells me that I have to file my taxes. I'm not going to lie for you. And then over the course of like 6 months, I was hit with harassment like you would not believe. My job was threatened. I was told to quit. I was told that if I wanted to be an employee, that the owner would fire everybody and he would close the radio station. And then he told me sob stories about the people that I worked with. And he would say, you know, this guy in engineering, he hasn't paid his house off. And if I close down this radio station, who's going to hire him? He's in his 60s. It was like pressure until finally I submitted a letter to the guy and I said, listen, please give me a W-2. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go get a lawyer and we're going to have to sort it out that way. And he said, fine, you'll never win in the courts. And then lo and behold, Sherry, I won. I won like 8 months later. I won my case because the law is very clear about this kind of stuff.
If you show up at the same time,
same place,
every day, you're an employee. And
if it's not your equipment, if you're using somebody else's equipment, if you have to attend mandatory meetings like staff meetings, things of that nature, you are not an independent contractor. So I won that case. I won tons of money. And yet at the same time, I have no sympathy for these people who are clearly independent contractors who are just demanding something that they don't really deserve. And also, the tax breaks that they get as 1099 employees are ridiculous. You can write off everything in your small business. And all you got to do is take your receipts to H&R Block, and you're basically paying nothing. You might even get a return from the state. You would get money instead of having to pay taxes. And how do I know this? Because that's what my old boss wanted me to do. So I just think it's important for people to recognize, like, I don't see this as a good faith argument from any of these people outside of just being sorely misinformed about the difference between what an employee is and what an independent contractor is under the law.
I think they get hung up on the idea that because a company is making so much money that they are entitled to a portion of that and that it's everybody else's responsibility to make sure that they have enough money to survive. That's your responsibility. In whatever way that you can do that, that's your responsibility. It's not a company's responsibility to make sure that your rent is paid or that you have enough food on the table. It would be nice if we lived in a world where everybody took care of each other in that way, but we don't. We live in a world where people have businesses that are in business to make money and to be successful. You work for those businesses, you get paid a certain amount of money. If it's not adequate, then you have to make other arrangements in whatever way that is. It's not the company's job to make sure you can survive.
Why do you think the philosophy around that has switched? Because now people are saying that you and I are cruel and heartless and we're coming down on the little guy. Even though, just so people know, at one point in time in my life, I would wake up at like 4 or 4:30 in the morning and I would go to work for the photography company that I worked for. I worked for a sports photography company. I would take pictures of little kids up until about noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I would then drive to my drive time radio show. I would do the drive time radio show. I would get off, spend about 20 minutes with my wife, pass out, and do that all over again. And I did that so that I would be able to afford my apartment and I didn't have to do it for very long before my career started to take off. And I think that this might be people's misconception or maybe they're not appreciating their own potential enough in their own skill set, right? They don't believe in themselves enough, so they're like, well, I guess I'll just be an Uber driver for the rest of my life, not realizing that they could potentially, if they wanted to, start their own business, do something, like have your own driver service or whatever it is, have your own concierge driver service, start your own business, make your own thing. Maybe we don't champion that enough, which is why we have, like, Sleepy Lady being like, bah, 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 millions of dollars. You know what I mean? Like, we don't hold that up enough anymore to say, do it yourself and make something happen in your own life.
Well, I think that people, you know, get lazy sometimes. And I also think that people, you're right, they don't necessarily know their own worth or know their own potential. And maybe we need to do a better job of taking care of that or trying to promote that. But at the same time, I mean, I've never seen more information out there about the availability of work than the time we're living in right now.
Sure.
About the fact that we are in staffing crisis after staffing crisis. So it's a buyer's market. If you don't like what you're doing and you think you can move on to something else that's going to pay you more, why not do it? It's not going to be like this forever. It's going to shift. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for people that are stuck in something, because right now is a great time to make a change if you can.
Speaking of, coming up next, I'm going to give the greatest advice for being in a restaurant of all time on how to get the best service of all time. Kimmy Klein, do you know what my secret is? Don't spoil it, but do you know what it is?
Tipping. I don't know.
No, but I have the hottest of hot takes on how to get excellent service at a restaurant. Complete auto repair. See, this is what I'm talking about, Andrew. You got that bop, 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 bop. That's what I'm talking about, Andrew.
I'm here to bring the bop, bop.
Thank you. Bucky's Complete Auto Repair. They have a team of trained technicians performing complete automotive repair service on all makes and models of autos, trucks, and even RVs at all of their 16 locations, including places like Tacoma, Bremerton, Everett, and Federal Way. Proud sponsor, John Curley, Sherry Elliker radio program, soon in 3D. Okay, so there is a lady on TikTok who has been going slightly viral because she has detailed her biggest pet peeves as a restaurant server. Here's what that sounded like.
Hi, my name is Water with Lemon, no ice. All right, guys, who had the crispy pan-seared chicken? The chicken? Who had the chicken? Who the
All right.
The chicken is mine.
Okay, she obviously not very funny either. Mm-hmm. But she says she also finds it frustrating when customers don't seem to listen.
Okay, and what will you be having today? I'll have the house burger. Great, and what would you like for your side? What sides do you have? We have fries, breakfast potatoes, grits, tater tots, mac and cheese, two different kinds of vegetables, asparagus or roast vegetables, and fruit. And you could also get a side salad. Do you have sweet potato fries? No, unfortunately we don't have sweet potato fries, but there are sweet potatoes in the breakfast potatoes. I'll get the fries. Okay, great. I will get that in for
you. I don't like this lady. I don't like her. This is weird. Why? This is a weird person for us to highlight. What is this? Is like weirdly passive aggressive. Like, as a waiter, isn't it your job to be welcoming and accommodating, not complain about the people who are confused about what's on your menu? Like, you are a guide through the forest that is your restaurant.
Well,
right?
The punchline to that one is that the person ends up asking why her fries aren't sweet potato fries. So it does come back around to, I think, that person actually doing an annoying thing, but that's neither here nor there if your
Jacob,
complaint is just...
Okay, were you sitting in your apartment with your girlfriend watching TikTok videos and you came across this and this busted you? You guys just started laughing. Ah, ha, 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 this is so funny. And then you thought you'd bring it...
No, I'm guilty.
What? What?
Don't blame Jacob.
What?
I found it. The reason I found it or thought it was interesting to talk about was for the very reaction that you're getting right now is
okay.
That she's so judgy Judy, right? I mean, she's supposed to be helping people and taking their order, and she's saying, she's giving a list of her biggest pet peeves, and one of them is that when she arrives at the table, with her food and you don't identify what's yours, right? Like she was saying, who had the chicken? Who had the chicken? Who had the chicken? But I'm sorry, isn't it her job to remember?
Yes.
You know, seat number one had the hamburger, seat number two had the chicken, seat number three had pork chops, whatever. I mean, I thought that was your job as a waitress to be able to be place the food to the person that ordered it.
Yeah, and I need to apologize to Jacob for being an accusatory Adam. If she was being a judgy Judy, I was being accusatory Adam.
It's okay, Jack. 90% of segments are just ideas I get from TikTok, so it makes sense. That
when he's sitting around his living room with his girlfriend.
Okay, so aside from this terrible lady and her being a negative Nancy, one of the things that my grandfather taught to me, he was a terrible human being to me, but to everybody else in the world, he was one of the most charming guys you'd ever want to meet. He could charm anybody. He was a charming Charlie, as we like to call him. And so, one of the things that he taught me at a restaurant is that when you walk in, it doesn't matter how busy it is. If it's, it could be packed, it could be super slow. If you say to the waiter or to the waitress, take your time with us, we're going to be here for a while, you will get the best service you have ever received in your life, because then you are empathizing with the person who has either the really busy job or maybe it's really slow, so they feel like they have to rush. You are letting them know that you are on the same wavelength and that you're going to be spending time at the table. And every time I have ever said that, I get immaculate service. It's amazing.
See, I've always thought that the opposite would be true, because they want to turn over that table to make more tips. So if you're lounging around that table, say, for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, you don't actually lounge. You don't actually lounge. Like the idea is that you get sped up service because they don't want to be around the people who are yelling at them and berating them. They want to be around the nice people. And then you tip well. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think why don't we tip in the beginning? You know, and then we get the really good service. Like, you just know up front, like, how much you're going to spend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. You just throw a 20 on the table and then you get the greatest service ever.
Like, but Oscar Schindler, like that kind of thing. Like, when you walk in, you give the maitre d' like $100 right in the pocket, and then you just let them know, like, just keep everything coming. Like, that kind of idea?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that we are waiting and we're, you know, we're basing our tip basically on the performance, which is true. And that's the way it should be. But if we did it the opposite, can you imagine? Like, if they knew from the beginning you were going to give them a really, really good tip, you would have perfect service all the time, probably, unless something went wrong in the kitchen that they couldn't control.
Yeah, but not everybody's like Mr. Moneybags, like Sherry Elliker, right?
I know.
Like, like, not everybody's walking around with $100 bills just throwing them at lesser people saying, serve me better, right?
Right, right. Yeah, that's true.
At the same time, I've never seen someone do this, but I've heard of a really, what I find a bit deplorable is a guy at the beginning of the meal puts like 5 $1 bills on the table or whatever, and then he explains to the wait staff, every time you mess up, I take $1 away, and that's like an even more, I don't know, it almost sounds like that's a version of what you're describing, but just way more terrible.
Yeah, John Curley's got to stop doing that. John's got to really...
No, that would be, I mean, that's, but you know, did you know that you can tip like when you go into a hotel and you're getting your room and the reservationist is there, the hotel person, that they will accept tips?
Have you ever tipped?
I think I have tipped, yeah. I think I have. Because I wanted to get a certain room or something, or a different kind of room. They switched a room for me, so I gave them like $10. But I didn't even know that they could take tips. But yeah, they can definitely take them.
Have you ever not tipped at a restaurant intentionally? Just said, forget these people.
No.
Wow.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe I've under-tipped. But okay. I don't think that I've ever stiffed anybody. Have you?
Okay. Yes, I have, actually. Yeah, I did one time. One time in particular. But that's, you know, everybody's got that story about the food was like an hour and a half late and the server forgot about us and we were just sitting there for an hour and a half. And
but
then
you told her.
He would be there for a while. What happened there?
I didn't use the method. It was the one time I didn't use the Jedi mind trick, and then it backfired at me. Kimmy Klein, are you a good tipper or a bad tipper?
Yes, I'm an over-tipper. I'm way too friendly. I can't not tip, but I do got to... What's that line again? I got to try it.
Oh, we're going to be here for a while. Yeah. Take your time with us. Take your time.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Works every time.
I'll let you know how that goes.
Cool. Perfect. So, Sherry, why should we never leave the customer copy of the receipt at a restaurant? I wanted to get to this in the last segment, but I was too busy berating Jacob for something that he didn't do.
I don't think you can blame him for this either, because I think this was one of mine as well. You shouldn't leave the customer copy because either copy, you know how you sign one, you put the tip on it and everything,
yeah.
And then there's another copy and you generally don't, you may not write what what your tip was on your copy to bring it home unless you're going to save the receipt. Well, if you happen to just leave that there, technically they could write in another tip and use that copy as the copy that, you know, they turn in, because either one is acceptable.
Right. But why would they want to, though? You know, why would you want to forge somebody's tip amount? Because if it's over a certain amount, I'm going to notice, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you, it depends, I guess, on how much it is and if you remember the meal. So if you go out for a meal and let's say you spend, $20 and you leave a $5 tip and then you remember that. And then all of a sudden what was a, $25 thing turns out to be a $50 lunch. You might notice it then. They say it's rare that any server would ever do something like that, but it's the potential is there because you can use that blank customer copy, as the actual thing. They could turn that in and put a different amount on that, as the thing.
I feel like this is Yahoo News trying to put the fear of God into boomers. You know what I mean? Like, I really do feel like this is Yahoo News attempting to scare people over something that's actually not that scary. You know, it's like one of those kind of fluff pieces.
I doubt if it happens. I mean, I don't think the average server would ever want to do that, because if they got caught, they'd lose their job and they
right.
just
they over just $5. Do it. Right. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're right. Yahoo News wants us to know the potential is there and you could be in deep trouble and go bankrupt over all those fake tips if you leave that customer copy blank, sitting on the table.
Jacob, get me Yahoo News on the phone. I need to talk to whoever wrote this article immediately, because this is like, I understand the sentiment behind it, but the argumentation is like, it's like, I for whatever reason, it just makes me think of someone as why you should never leave your fire extinguisher out and about, because someone might pick it up and spray you in the face with it. Like, it's kind of like a really silly.
Yeah, anything is possible.
Yeah,
there's danger around every corner,
exactly.
According to Yahoo.
You ever leave your garden hose a little bit off the spool? Don't do that, because someone might wrap it around you and leave you on the train tracks. Like, this is an insane, it's like fanciful thinking that a ne'er-do-well waiter is going to pick up your copy and then go, ooh, I'm going to get $2.50 out of this boomer. And then they change the tip amount under penalty of jail time, right? Like, that would be theft, losing your job. That would be forging somebody's signature. I mean, this would be bad, 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 right?
Yeah, it would be. I don't know if it would be. I don't know if you'd go to jail for it, but it. They're just saying, I mean, I can read you what Yahoo says. At your next meal, do not leave a blank copy of your receipt on the table when you leave. While 99.9% of servers would never dream of adding a generous tip to your unsigned, abandoned receipt,
yeah.
That's what you're there for. There's an opportunity for this to happen if you leave a blank copy at the restaurant. Walking out without a receipt can also leave you unable to dispute a charge should the need arise. What are you going to dispute? What are you going to do? You're signing it already. You've already had your meal. You're going to go up to the manager after you've already paid for it. I didn't like the corn.
Yeah.
Take it off the bill.
This is like the equivalent of like, don't leave your rake on the ground because you might step on it and might boop you in the nose. Like, this is one of the most ridiculous things. Yahoo News should be embarrassed with themselves for posting this. While 99% of the time it doesn't happen, great. So it has nothing to do with my life whatsoever.
It has nothing to do with anything. You're talking about for the 1% that it could happen. Let's write an article about it. And now we're talking about it. Like we're so innocent.
Don't leave the lid off your garbage can. You might fall into it. And then when you try to stand back up, you might run into the wall at high speed. Like, this is like Benny Hill nonsense. Do you know what I mean? This is like weird. This is like, people get paid to do this, Sherry. People make hundreds of thousands of dollars every year thinking, man, how can I fill 1,000 words on Yahoo News? I know. Let's take this old wives' tale and put the fear of God into everybody about it. Like, this is like, this is why I hate news. You see what I'm saying, Sherry?
Well, welcome to Cairo News.
Because there's news.
I'm glad to hear it.
There's like okay. News, and then there's like
there's news.
News. Okay.